You intro the podcast, I'll intro the post, then you read the beginning of the post.
Okay,
we'll
okay, great. Okay.
Yeah, so we do it. Not hoo da ha. Bada bing, bada bang.
Are you doing that just for your children so you can
just for my kiddos? Bada bing, bada bang.
You know this is going to be left on the intro, right?
It won't. You yes, would. It will. You wouldn't dare.
We will see. I love it that I'm in charge of editing because Melissa's apparently too busy to do editing with children and stuff. But anyways,
When you open the door for somebody else.
Welcome into the vaccine conversation with Melissa and Dr. Bob.
Hey, guys.
It's good to be back. We just had a very fascinating episode, I thought, and I think Melissa thought as well, and hopefully you thought too, and about polio. But today we're
and you listened to this about 3 days ago from the time you're hearing this one. So,
yeah. If we publish these in order, we don't always publish these in order, but we
most
try
of the time,
to.
Right?
Yeah, most of the time. Anyway, today what are we talking about today, Melissa?
We are not talking about anything yet, Dr. Bob. How are you doing?
I am.
People want to know.
I am doing well. I mean, I woke up this morning super early because I had to finish the book. I had to finish the book I was reading this morning. But you know, I don't know. You know, we're in the midst of this whole California law that they're trying to pass. And I mean, you've described to me what your days are like. You know, you're driving to meet with this person. You're calling these people. You're sending out emails to these people. And my day is the same. I mean, I'm basically, working in the office, but then all my off time is just spent coordinating with people, talking to people, going to legislator meetings, and just it's very draining. But we totally have to do it.
Where are you on a 1 to 10?
Where am I?
10 is like you're feeling great. Not about this issue, but just in general. 10 is like feeling great, loving life, and 1 is like it's pretty bad.
You know what? I don't know. Is it, am I at a 5 maybe? I mean, some things are a 9 or 10. Like, I mean, it's so great to have a family. You know, you have a great family and a solid home. And I think that kind of helps, gives you that foundation so that when life is a 2 or a 3 and you're embroiled in, fighting something, it kind of, grounds you and then gives you the energy you need. But yeah, it's draining. How are you holding up with all this?
I don't know where I am. I don't know what my number is. It changes day to day.
Yeah.
Some days I'll just be like, I am overwhelmed. I cannot keep doing this all. And then there are some days where I'm like, I got a good night's sleep. Okay. If I can just, I think my biggest thing is I try to focus on too many things.
Yes, totally.
And so I end up feeling bogged down or overwhelmed with the workload of all of the too many things.
Yeah.
And I think that what I've found probably that works best for me that I don't always implement, which I should, but I don't, is focusing on 1 or 2 things at a time that I know I can get, I can narrow my, same thing with researching. There'll be sometimes I'm like, somebody posts an article or a study and I'm like, oh, I've got to get into that. And then I open up that study to kind of browse it quickly. And then the study's talking about something else that reminds me of this other thing. And then I go find the studies on that. And then I'm forgetting that the original reason I even got online was supposed to be about another thing. And it's like, it's kind of just moves you all over the place. And also, as a result of having so many things to do, sometimes it feels really defeating because there's just so much to do. And it just seems impossible to be able to do it all and really get a hold on it and do it in a timely manner. And so I need to be better about delegating things and just finding a few things I can focus on at a time so that I can get those tasks done and feel like I'm accomplishing something instead of feeling like I have 20 to 30% in like 10 different areas. Because they always feel like these are projects that are incomplete, that are lingering. Yeah. And it's that feeling of lingering stuff that sort of weighs me down sometimes to where I don't feel like I'm doing anything, but I'm doing too much. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like this really weird juxtaposition. Nice big word to use today.
Yes. Right.
It's a juxtaposition when things seem insurmountable. And what ends up happening is that it basically almost makes you want to freeze right where you are and not do anything because you just feel like, where can I go? So I think, especially as it relates to what's going on now, it's probably best to sort of try to only focus on a couple of things and be comfortable with the fact that you're not going to be able to do it all, and they have to let a lot of it go. And, you know, I'm really so encouraged and so proud of the parents I see all over the country, and in some cases all over the world, that are continuing to fight and to fight for medical freedom and to fight against the idea of interventions, medical interventions being mandated, knowing that some children are at harm. I really get inspired and encouraged by what I see from other people. And sometimes you just have to, you know, trust and let go that you're empowering people with as much as you can with information, and that you hope that they're able to carry the torch, as I say sometimes, for you, because it's just, you know, we're individuals. We can't do it all. We cannot be everywhere and do everything and be present for everything and be a part of everything. And nor should we, because, you know, so many of these parents have so much to offer. And I want to be taking in their ideas and taking in their action and direction that they're going with. There's nobody that's like an expert on all this stuff, right? We're all parents who have something to add. And there are a lot of new people this time around who weren't around 4 years ago. And I think that's great. I think that's really great. And so I'm trying to connect with a lot of people who I see that are doing great work and help support them and help get involved in that. But I also am having to decline a lot of things because I realize it's just too hard to do it all. And, you know, this is a lot harder for me this time around because I have two kids. I had one last time, and now I have two little ones who are constantly needing me. And I am having a really hard time being able to be as effective as I want to be, because I feel very limited in the amount of time I can give. And so while I'm still effective, it's not to the extent that I would like to be. And so I think part of me has had to accept that as just the reality of my circumstance and let it go. And even though I do feel a little disappointed, not so much in myself, but just in the circumstance, it's not exactly the way that I would like it to be. And I have to sort of accept that. And there's a little sadness attached to that, that I have to just let go, because even if that means things move forward in a way that is not in our favor, and laws that shouldn't be passed get passed, and you're thinking, oh, if I could have done more, I don't know if I could have helped to awaken somebody, or, you know, give them information that they needed to, because they thought it was one way. And if I just could have got, it's just, and I can't. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that I'm really struggling with is, some days I wake up going, okay, I can do all this today. And some days I wake up going, I can't do all these things. And I'm holding myself to an impossible standard. And that is making me feel conflicted about all of it. And so some days I want to just go lie in fetal position and just turn on Netflix and lay in bed all day and just watch movies and pretend like all this isn't happening.
Yeah.
You know, and then the other part of me is like, I know this is time sensitive. What can I do today? What can I do today to make a difference in at least giving this my all, so that I can, regardless of what the outcome is, that I can feel happy with myself knowing, and that I can tell my children that I fought for them and that I did not let this go by without me giving them a voice. And that's really how I feel. Every single parent that's getting involved, you'll never regret doing it. Mm-hmm. Like you've said before, you can regret not doing it. Right. But you'll never regret doing it. And I owe my children that, because they are not able to fight for themselves. Right. And I have to do something. It's just, it's all so much.
Yeah, well, I always encourage people to find what you are good at doing, but also find what you enjoy doing. If you can find that combination that empowers you, it energizes you. Yeah, it takes a lot of energy to do it, but it energizes your spirit and it feeds your spirit. If you can find that combination of things, then you do find the energy to do something every day and get through this. I totally hear that. I wish I could basically quit working and you know, basically start a huge organization and we all have this think tank and we all, you know, spend 10 hours a day all meeting in, you know, in this big, you know, office somewhere, and we fight this bill of this big company and this big group that fights this bill. And that's just not practical, but I kind of almost wish we could do that and bring all the 50 best people all over the state together and do that. So we're kind of trying to do that through our, you know, networks and connections, but you're right. We basically we find, you know, someone else is doing one thing, so I don't have to do that also. Mm-hmm. And I don't enjoy doing that thing anyway, but that person does. And they're so good at it. So I can let that go because that's being handled by these three other people that I know and that I'm emailing. So I know that's covered. So then now I can do this other thing today that I love doing. Like I actually love driving over to a legislator's office and having a conversation with either the legislator or the aide. I don't like doing that up in Sacramento, but I like doing that around here. I actually kind of found I enjoy that. So I make time to do that. But I don't try to be in charge of everyone else who's doing that or mm-hmm. kind of, you know, help lead everyone else because that just takes too much energy. And then you and I basically found what feeds us and what gives us energy and what empowers us is basically having, you know, doing the podcast and doing town hall meetings and reaching out to people and inspiring people to get out and find, you know, their jobs and what they can do to help their children. And by you and I devoting a lot of our energy to that, we're not doing 10 other things we could be doing just because I think, yeah, if we do all of it, it drains you. And if you're doing too many things that you hate doing, it drains you. So again, if you can find what you love and what you're good at, that's a great combination and you'll be effective and you'll play your role in this fight.
So. Well, I'll say too, I recently was presented with a kind of a conflicting situation because there were some people who had worked on 277 that are no longer in the state, but were chiming in on a group, commenting to someone who is new in this that I actually work with in our local group, and sort of trying to give their advice, but in a way that was really dismissive about how it's not going to make any difference what you're doing. Why are you wasting your time here, here, and here, and whatever? And I was really disheartened by that. Because first of all, this girl that I'm talking about went to a town hall, and by the next week, she had her packets printed out, and she met with three different reps or their offices between Assembly and Senate. And she went to one of the like coffee talk type things and then got a one-on-one conversation with the rep that was not even supposed to be about this issue. And she found a way to have the conversation about it. Mm-hmm. And this is somebody who's never before done this. Mm-hmm. And she took action the next week and she's very articulate. She's an educated professional type and she presented the data. To me, that is exactly the example of what we want to see in people. And I'll just say, if you are a long time member of this fight, you know, it's not just this bill and it wasn't just 277 and it's happening all over the country. And if you've been fighting these types of bills, please do not discourage and dismiss and belittle or criticize what you think is ineffective. Like, oh, this person's already on our side, so why are you going to meet with them? You're going to meet with them because that's your rep. And you mm-hmm. have a right to do it. And right. you're a constituent. It doesn't matter that they're on your side. You're not always trying to change somebody's mind. You're trying to share your story. Mm-hmm. That's it. Your story right. matters. You have a right to tell your story. I don't care if it's a Republican or if this person's already on your side. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is that you're getting up off your butt. You're taking mm-hmm. the initiative to schedule an appointment and you're showing up and you are getting familiar with the political process and you are perhaps giving another angle to this that they didn't see before because every right. single person speaks differently
right.
and their story is all different. You never know what's going to resonate. So I would just, you know, a plea to those who've been in this for a while, don't discard these new people as somebody who doesn't know as much as you or they're not doing it the right way or whatever. Let's help support people that are new to this. You can continue to offer the things you think are effective, but don't discard the fact that they're taking action because taking action is a lot more than most people do. And I'm yes. really proud of yeah. every single person, a lot of these new people. I'm proud of every single one of them that I've seen take action. Yes, they don't know how to do it perfectly. Of course not. This is a learning curve. I didn't know anything about this in 2015. You learn as you go. And I will not belittle people for not having, you know, not being politically savvy. Just like I'm not going to belittle, like we mentioned before in another podcast, all those people who show up to the microphone, public comment, who don't know how to say everything perfectly. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to belittle those people because you know what? At least they drove in right. their car to show up right. to the Capitol to let their voice be heard. So I think as people who've been in this for a while, we have just as much responsibility to help foster and support mm-hmm. and nurture people who are ready to get involved, and they're fighting on behalf of their children too. So they want the best. They want the same outcome. Let's join together and help those people. You think you have something that's more effective? Let's find a way to present that, but let's not criticize and discard and do all that. Like, we can do better, I think, as a movement. And I really just want to say to anyone who's new to this time and you've taken action, good for you. You don't owe anybody an explanation or need to defend yourself. Good for you. I'm proud of you. I know Dr. Bob's proud of you. And we hope that we see that same type of action continue tenfold as this process goes along, because we know it's bigger than these bills that we're seeing. This is a bigger conversation that we need to be having.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we will keep doing this for
another. So stop criticizing people, Dr. Bob. No, it's not him.
Yeah.
He's not the type to criticize anyone, even if they deserve criticizing. Honestly, there are many times I've had to tell him, like, hey, dude, listen, this person deserves criticizing. And he always tries to be very, very nice and neutral to almost every single person, to a fault sometimes. But that's Dr. Bob. And that's why you guys all love him and why you're tuning in to listen to the Vaccine Conversation Podcast. I have to say in that voice.
Yeah. You know, so what is today's topic, Melissa?
Why are you rushing me?
Well, I don't know.
My goodness.
Okay.
This is a conversation, Dr. Bob.
Okay, well, if there's no rush, I'm going to, do you mind if I have a snack?
I do mind.
Yeah, well.
We're doing heart-to-hearts with people here.
Yeah.
Right? True or false?
True. Here,
if you're going to open it, just open it in the mic. Okay. Let people hear it. I mean,
well,
like.
No, I want to give a special thank you to Hazel's mom. Hazel's mom brought me this green superfood snack bar. I've never had it before. It's brand new.
Mine?
So. I don't know. She only brought me one. So thanks, Hazel's mom.
Hazel's mom, you're dropping the ball.
But Hazel is somebody new.
Bar.
Oh, you got it? All right, cool.
I got my own bar. Let's do this. Here we go. Okay. Come on. Bar opening. Here we go, everybody. Who's doing it better?
Who sounds better? I opened mine faster.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Mine looks a lot more. Well, we can't both eat at the same time.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I thought, like, I would eat my bar first, and then you would eat your bar, and we'd talk while they're
pursuing. No, we should just have a bar off. Let's have a bar off. Who can bar it better?
But Hazel came into my office, and I hadn't seen her yet, and one of my staff says, oh, my gosh, the next patient you're going to see is the cutest little girl you'll ever see. And I'm like, well,
everybody
yeah, okay.
Everybody says that, right?
I'm like, yeah, but, you know, how cute can they really be? But when this staff person says it, she's usually right. So I walk in and, oh, yeah, the cutest little girl that, I mean, I love being a pediatrician. The kids are just so amazing. But so thank you, Hazel's mom, and thank you, Hazel.
And you know what's nice about you is that you come across as, like, friendly and inviting, which I think doctors in general, especially as a kid, the idea of a doctor is always a little scary. Mm-hmm. And they usually come across as cold and maybe a little heartless. There's a feeling of disconnect there. And so I had to be really cautious of that with Serenity, was really scared of certain people. And so I had to think to myself, the idea of coming to someone, what would that feel like for a child? And does that person feel inviting and comfortable and safe? Because as a kid, you forget, like, they're so small. We're all so big and this world moves really quickly. And so I think most of your patients probably really feel like you're comfortable for them.
Yeah, I try to establish that with each patient as I go in.
And you like to get down on their level.
Yeah.
I've seen you do that.
And you usually can't reach the 18-month to 2-year-olds. but you know, besides that age group, yeah, I try to. What else do you want to chat about casually, Melissa, before we get to today's topic? Oh, you're eating. Okay, so you're hoping I would say more while you're chewing. You take two big bites. You got
to
take these little bites so you can talk into the mic and they don't know you're eating.
No, I don't snack during professional time, Dr. Bob, so I don't have it down to a science like you. Speaking of science, oh my God.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What a great transition. So on a previous episode, we talked about Truth Part 5, which was about the PR machine and how we are involuntarily complicit in this whole idea of creating a narrative around certain issues. And in this case, it's about vaccines and the vaccine debate. But I wrote the next one, Truth Part 6. And again, you can find these on Facebook, hashtag Truth Part 6, or whatever part you're looking for. And this one was really based solely on this idea that we hear all the time. The science is settled. Every time I hear that, I just like, part of me just feels like, ugh, you know, because just inherently the idea of science being settled makes absolutely no sense. And so I wrote a little post on it. So I'm going to let Dr. Bob put on his radio voice and we'll kind of break it down to a few parts and discuss it a little bit. Again, you can find it on Facebook, not to read along while you're listening. We want good listening ears. But if you want to go back and find it later, it's about the science being settled. And I'll just start with the quote that came for the image, mm-hmm. which is Michael Crichton, who is an author and a graduate from Harvard Medical School, by the way. He says, historically, the claim of consensus, meaning everybody, we all agree on this one thing. Consensus is a way to avoid debate by claiming that the matter is already settled. There is no such thing as consensus science. If it's consensus, it isn't science. If it's settled, if it's period, end of sentence, this is close the book on this, it cannot be science because we are always getting new information, right?
Right. So essentially they're saying science can never be settled.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. So here we go. Excuse me. Let me get ready.
I'm totally ready over here.
Ready? Okay, okay. You've read the science because you are a conscientious parent. You consider yourself a smart person and you like to do your research. And the science is settled according to them and you. While it's very tempting to accept that truth, in air quotes, on face value, I have a few questions I'd like to bring to the table. One, what science have you read exactly? Is it the science they directed you to? Are these the, quotes, peer-reviewed articles and the medical literature that they link on their vaccines are safe and effective page? Would you expect them to link studies that didn't come to the same conclusions they did? Two, who pays for the science that you've read? Who funds the studies that we most often hear about? Is there a possibility that some of these studies are funded by those with a vested interest in the outcome? Is there a chance that studies may be manipulated to achieve a particular finding? Just a teeny tiny chance? Is that a good place to leave off?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's the first part. So what do you think about that, Dr. Bob? You know, when people say, I've read the science, don't you wonder that? What science have you read, though? Which ones have you read? Of course, if you go to the CDC website and they give you these three links to prove that aluminum is not dangerous, or these three links to show that vaccines don't cause autism, whatever it is, they're not going to put that link on that website unless it comes to that same conclusion, right? Obviously. And we know that there are thousands of studies. So if they're picking two or three or four, whatever it is, and this is their data pool of what they say is going to support their idea, if that's the science you've read, then it's not shocking that you're going to come to the same conclusion, because that science potentially was created to come to that conclusion.
Right.
Do you think, understand that studies can be done with the intention for a certain outcome and that they have manipulated factors along the way? Do you think people understand that?
Yeah. I think people don't understand that. I think people assume that all research that's done is published and, you know, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the findings, and that is so far from the truth.
Or that it's all independent.
Right, that it's all independent. So if you're, say you are a medical center, you're a medical university, and a vaccine company, you know, funds your research, and you do a research product on a certain vaccine, and you spend 2 years doing this research study, and you find this kind of very interesting finding, that pharmaceutical company doesn't have to publish your research. And you don't necessarily have to publish your research. So basically, if they research something and they find something that's negative about their product, or they find it causes certain side effects, it's not like that's going to then get added to the pool of research. No, that just gets thrown away and buried
never
and
gets published.
Never sees the light of day. People are only going to publish something if it's funded by a company, it's only going to be published if it's favorable.
Favorable, right.
Right. Now, and then if the research is done by an independent company and it finds something that's negative about a certain product.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we are recording.
It just started over.
I know. then, you know, an independent company could choose or choose to not publish it. And interestingly, what we find nowadays is things that are published by independent groups that are negative about vaccines, you often see them get pulled.
Yes.
Or get, what's the word?
Retracted.
Retracted.
Remember the sheep study on aluminum? I just saw that. That was technically retracted.
So many things are retracted. But,
like, but this is the data that they found. But they get that pressure, that severe pressure to retract it. So therefore, as if the study was not, no longer came to that conclusion.
Yeah. So you have to realize no one is ever going to have access to all the science. Yeah. You only have access to published science. And I know there's got to be a lot of, you know, vaccine safety research, you know, studies that have been done, and then they either, you know, shift the results. We've heard about manipulating the data.
That's the
they've done it. They change the data to get the outcome they want, or they just don't publish it.
Right. So think about that. That's the part. That's one of the parts I'm talking about. Let's say you start out with the intention to prove, like a pharmaceutical company is part of your funding. You want to prove that there is no side effect with X, Y, and Z. You do the study. As you're doing the study, you realize there seems to be a correlation with this particular subpopulation. And because that will not be favorable and may not make the study published, which is like, oh, all this work, all this time, we want to get published. That's a big part of what researchers and scientists want. They want to be published, and this is how they become accredited, right, in a way, with their peers. So if it's not going to get published and it's not going to be favorable, then there is the chance that they just remove that subpopulation out of the data pool. And so then all of a sudden the data pool, instead of 1,600 people, let's say it's now down to 1,200, but out of those 1,200, they didn't see any reactions. And so they continue to publish the study all the way through, saying there is no side effect. And even though the 400 kids might have had a side effect, those kids are just now not included. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that people understand that happens. So I think, again, people do tend to think scientists and researchers have no skin in the game. They're just doing a study. Whatever happens with the study is what shows up. They don't realize the kind of influence that comes before the study's even done. And then after that, during the process and after. So at three different stages, there is a lot of potential conflict happening. Before the study happens, it's whether or not somebody's even going to allow the study to happen or give you the funding for it, and what outcome we would like to see at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through, something's not going right, then let's see how we adjust this. And then at the end, if they couldn't adjust it and it's still not favorable, we're not publishing the science. Or if it's been, now it became favorable, then yes, we're going to use this. And this is what will be on your CDC website. I mean, this is my point, is that what you're going to see is going to be potentially not independent.
Yeah. And if you want to do, if you want that company to hire you again to do more research, you want to be able to provide useful research to them. So for me, what true research means, like not if you're doing the research, but if you are a layperson and you are studying research, to me, that means you're not actually on someone's website reading the research they have there. You're not just like reading a book and seeing the research studies they show you. You are actually literally sitting down doing your own literature searches on PubMed or on, you know, on Google Scholar or in, you know, the medical library. I mean, any medical database you put in, you know, aluminum safety and vaccines, and you then read the actual articles yourself.
All of them, different viewpoints, outcomes.
Right, but
see.
Even those, even there's some articles won't even show up in some of those searches.
Yeah, the search engines have been.
If you can get to a medical library database that is objective, you're sitting down and doing all your own research, and you're pulling up articles, reading it yourself. That's true. Like investigation of research, and that's what I did when I set out about this. It started with reading a book, but then I just sat down and read every single research article directly.
And a lot of
and
times,
that's true research.
The studies have their sources that where they got that from, and you can go to those studies as well.
Yeah.
I mean, do not go to the CDC website thinking you've done your research, because that research is going to be completely on one side of it. It doesn't mean that, and maybe some of those things did prove that in that one particular situation. But my biggest issue is there is science on both sides of this.
Right.
And if you know just that alone.
Well, I wonder if you're going to get to that in your post. Yeah, let me see. Let me continue reading. Right.
Continuing on, right. Dr. Bob. Point two.
Okay. When you say you've read the science, WTF does that actually mean?
Oh, come on, say it. Okay. What the does that actually mean?
Okay, because I've read the science too, only the science I've read says something different than yours. The peer-reviewed medical journals, literature, and articles I've read do not reiterate what we've been told. In fact, they often say the opposite. Your science says vaccines are safe and effective. My science says they are not safe for all and they don't work for everyone. Your science says aluminum adjuvants are harmless. My science shows they are neurotoxic and can cause behavioral and physiological damage. Your science says the unvaccinated are a risk to everyone. My science shows unvaccinated children have far better health outcomes and less chronic disease. Your science says vaccines don't cause autism. My science confirms neurological developmental disorders can be triggered in children due to environmental toxins, such as vaccines. So you can see how it can be confusing when you call us anti-science, because we've seen science, and the science actually confirms what we've been saying all along. And yet, isn't it interesting how our science is immediately discarded or trivialized because it doesn't match up with yours? The raw data, the multitude of statistics, and the empirical trends have come to the same conclusion. The story we've all been told isn't the whole story.
And that's what we were just talking about with Forrest Moretti on a previous podcast about his book, The Moth and the Iron Lung. Make sure to check that out if you haven't already. This is probably, I'd say, the number one thing. If I had to summarize exactly what I'm trying to do by having this conversation, whether it's on my Facebook page in this post or with people in my real life or this podcast, I just want people to understand that the story that we're being told is not the whole story. That's not to say some of the things they're saying aren't true. Some things are true, but it's not the whole story. And so if you can just open your mind to that fact alone, you can really start to see why there are so many parents that are standing up in opposition and why so many highly educated parents are the ones that are looking into this and saying, well, huh, something's not really adding up here. It cannot possibly be so black and white. It cannot be so one-sided. There are all these parents saying something else, you know, something different. This cannot be true. So if you can just open your eyes or the eyes of your family and friends to the fact that the entire story is not being told, that's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my take on, you know, the your science versus my science is, I would actually say, I think both sides are correct.
Right.
I think your science is correct and our science is correct. You know, there is science that shows vaccines are safe and effective. And there is also science that shows vaccines cause severe reactions and they don't always work. So what I don't get is why
it has to be one or the other.
Right. It has to be. Why can't it be all
the
science? It is both.
It's so true. When people say vaccines work to reduce disease and they say, and vaccines harmed my child. Both of those things are true. They can work to reduce incidence of disease and they can harm children. Both of these truths exist at the same time. And what the media or this, you know, coordinated effort is for it to make it seem like one has to be true or the other. If you believe that they work, then you can never believe they hurt people. If you believe they hurt people, then you can never believe that they work. But the truth is, both of those things are correct.
Right. And I think the truth is uncomfortable and problematic if you have an agenda where you're trying to make vaccines mandatory for everybody. But it's also problematic if you are trying to get everyone to accept the vaccination program. It's problematic to admit that there's
of course
potential harm.
So you have to make it seem like it's one side.
Right.
But I think most people that have friends on their Facebook page that are posting about the danger of vaccines or have friends on their Facebook page that are posting about how measles is coming back and we need to get stricter with our laws, it's like you can see you respect both of the people that posted those, right? These are people who are your friends or family because they're on your Facebook page. You respect each of those people. You have to wonder why each of these people is coming to that particular belief system. And if there is truth to both of them, then how can we make this a black and white mandate kind of situation? Because there is truth on both sides. Honestly, the parents like myself that have gotten involved in this, all we want to do is be validated that our children exist.
Right.
And yes. that there are children like ours that exist that have been hurt. I understand you think that this is what I said the other day on a post, that pharmaceutical products have saved the world. I understand that you believe that vaccines are amazing, but we can also agree that all pharmaceutical products cause side effects or damage to some children.
Right. Again, you are both right.
Both right.
You're both right. And I will say an area where I actually would say the pro-mandate side is actually wrong, mm-hmm. though, is that they'll assume there is science on certain mm-hmm. things, that they assume the science has to be there because they've been
claims.
Told.
Yeah,
yeah there's mm-hmm. all these claims. So, for example, you know, your science says aluminum adjuvants are harmless. Well, there is no science that shows that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single research study that has examined aluminum and showed that it is harmless. Not even one. But the pro-mandate side says there has to be. How can there not be science that proves it's harmless? Otherwise,
CDC says it.
We couldn't put it in vaccines if they hadn't proved it's harmless. They've done a few token studies that failed to show any harm. It's because the study wasn't done in a way that would find harm.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they haven't really done the study, they're just making assumptions. Well, it has to be safe because, you know, our study didn't show any harm. But again, when it comes to aluminum, the number of articles that are pretend studies that fail to find harm is probably 3 or 4 studies. The number of aluminum studies that do show for sure there is harm, it's like many dozens. It's like 20,
or they do
30,
the study on ingested
40 studies.
Aluminum,
right?
Saying
right.
ingested aluminum isn't risky, injected aluminum, yeah.
Yeah. So there's always an angle that they put on it mm-hmm. so that creates the assumption. So there are a lot of assumptions
for the outcome that they want.
And you know what? On our side, that the side that shows vaccines do cause reactions, the vaccines have risk, and the chemical ingredients are you know questionable. We're not making a lot of assumptions because there is a lot of research there. And I think the one assumption we're not making is that vaccines are safe for everybody.
Well, and I think that most people wouldn't even know about any of this had it not happened to them or somebody that they loved. So
right,
we didn't
exactly,
believe that
yeah.
this even happened. And then all of a sudden it happens to somebody you love and you go, well, I know this yeah. happens because I saw it happen. So you can tell me all day yeah. and night that it doesn't happen, but I witnessed it. So now where's the science to show me it happens? Because I've seen it. And I know if I've seen it, other parents have seen it.
Right, right. And then another assumption is, you know, unvaccinated kids are a risk to everyone, because that would sort of be the common sense default belief mm. that unvaccinated kids pose a danger to everybody, yet they lack any science that actually demonstrates that's for sure true.
Is there science to show that they're backing this up?
There's not. So, I mean, there's so many assumptions that they believe supports their side. But honestly, I think if people actually – that's why if you're an independent investigator and you're looking at research articles, you can't find a lot of the science that creates these assumptions because it's just not there. And so I challenge people to look for that. And that's why independent research is very important. So then it goes on excuse me. So when it when it comes to reading science, the question you should really be asking yourself is, what science have you been missing?
Yeah, that was good, right? That was
yeah,
a good line.
I know, yeah.
That was a good line.
Yeah, search neurotoxicity of injected aluminum. Search asymptomatic transmission of pertussis. Search quadrupled risk of respiratory infection in children post-influenza vaccine. Search newborn immune activation events and their long-term negative impact on brain function. And that's just to get you going. But please, whatever you do, don't stop searching. In a world where data and information are changing by the second, don't believe the science can ever be settled. Question intentions. Look deeper into who stands to gain by claiming there is nothing left to debate. Huge pharmaceutical companies giving you their science to sell more units, or parents of vaccine-injured children fighting for scientific transparency in an effort to keep another family from suffering. And when you eventually come across the science that says something contrary to what you've been told all these years, remember this moment and the people who had the courage to speak up about it. fist bump.
I love my ending on this. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I love like just the idea that question the intentions.
That's key.
Yeah.
That's
like, so key. Like what do these parents stand to gain? Like all the people you think are vaccine hesitant, who are bringing diseases back and are a global health threat or all these things that they're saying, what do these people really stand to gain? We've mentioned before, yeah, nothing,
they have
right?
nothing to gain and they have everything to lose. They lose so much by this. There is absolutely no motivation, no nefarious motivation for anybody who has suffered vaccine injury to then go ahead and tell their story. Again, but there is everything to gain by the other side, discounting it, covering it up, not wanting people to talk about it. So you really do have to look at motivation. And motivation is key behind
science.
It's a big
part of it because as it relates to this idea of censorship and people wanting to stop the conversation, what would be the intention and motivation there if you were really so sure of your science? Mm-hmm. Why would you have to squash the conversation? And so what I say in there is you question intentions, look deeper into who stands to gain by claiming there's nothing left to debate. Like, that's one of the things I hear all the time. Vaccines, it's been proven that vaccines don't cause autism. That debate is closed. That science has been settled and it's done on that. As if there is no possible way that any new information in the future will ever come out that will give more insight or information onto why so many children have these neurodevelopmental disorders resulting as, you know, after several vaccines at one time or a certain particular live activation, immune activation event. If somebody's going to sit there and say, there's nothing left to debate, it makes me wonder what they're hiding. That's what I think of, because I think if you were so certain, you'd have no problem talking about it. If you want people to stop talking about it, then to me that means you're not so certain. And then it says these huge companies are selling more units, or these parents that are just trying to keep another family from going through what they went through. That's the other thing. I get a lot of people attacking me for doing this podcast or whatever I do, saying you shouldn't be convincing people not to vaccinate. I had somebody on my Instagram say that you're giving people the wrong information to make them not vaccinate. I'm like, I'm not telling anybody to not vaccinate. I'm just giving information. And the information I'm trying to give to parents is the information I was never given as a parent. So whatever you choose to do is your choice, but you have a right to know all parts of the story so that you can make your informed decision. I am not running around telling everybody don't vaccinate, you know, down with the whole vaccine program. This is what they assume. As soon as you question something, as soon as you bring to light like, oh, well, actually the pertussis outbreak is, you know, all vaccinated children are involved in that pertussis outbreak, right away people are like, well, so what are you saying? If we're going to have diseases come back, if people don't, you know, it's like, listen, all I'm saying is, again, like these two things are happening, are both true.
Right, right.
People are vaccinated, they're getting pertussis. That's true. And also, vaccines can still reduce the incidence of certain disease. That's true too. And you can still choose to vaccinate. That's true too. But you shouldn't force everybody to do it knowing that there's some harm. That's true too. Like all of these things are happening simultaneously. And I think intention is a big part of it. And just being open-minded enough to realize that there's another side of this. And then I love the ending, you know, it says when
you love your own ending.
I love my own ending. Hey, I spend time on these things, by the way. I work for a couple days, you know, trying to work on the language because I'm not a writer. I don't consider myself a writer or a good writer. I was never a writer in high school, didn't like creative writing, did not like any of that stuff. But I like to say things a certain way, and I want it to read like you're having a conversation with somebody. So I try to make the language sound like I'm saying it or I was talking to somebody.
Yeah.
So I try to really work on the right words to say that will make it come across the way that I want and make it sound the way that I want. And so just the ending where it says, when you do come across that science, it's something contrary that you've been told, remember all the people who had the courage to speak out about it. These are the people who are getting berated and criticized and dismissed every single day for just telling what they know to be true and showing true science. So, you know, when it comes to this whole issue, we've said it several times, information is powerful. Truth is important. It doesn't matter if it destroys the narrative. My responsibility is to my children. My responsibility is to help other parents. I don't care whose reputation is going to be smeared if the truth really comes out, and you can see that so much of what's happening is to kind of maintain a clean image of the vaccine program. It's like, can we do better? Is there a way to change the vaccine program a little bit to maybe reduce the amount of injury that we see and still allow all those that voluntarily want to vaccinate, which is more than 95% of the country, that voluntarily choose to do all these different doses? Could we reduce the schedule? Could we reduce the schedule a little bit? I think we could. I think there are a lot of things we could make optional that should not be required for school entry. Should we look at genetic history? Should there be a better process for finding out which children could be harmed? Is that even possible? I mean, you know, maybe on some level, but not entirely. Some of this is very arbitrary. And some of these, you know, underlying genetic things, you don't know until it's too late. And, you know, all those things have to be included. What would be the best decision for society? We have to move forward, but we can't ignore by just saying the science is settled. We can't just ignore this other side of the conversation. We have to include it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to read my little intro, kind of like what I took home from this when I shared it on my page. When clear and objective minds look at all the science instead of simply believing the bought and paid for science that is fed to them, such minds all seem to agree on one thing. The science is far from settled, and it's even beginning to settle in the other direction. And I mean, what I mean by that is more and more researchers are publishing information about problems with vaccines, vaccine reactions, and the reality of vaccine reactions, and the reality of aluminum toxicity, and what the scientifically demonstrable problems are with vaccines. And that is starting to shift. And we're seeing more and more of that, you know, published. And again, I mean, I know people that work in medical centers, you know, in the U.S. and other countries that are publishing, you know, toxicity about vaccines and doing a lot of animal research that's showing various, you know, toxic effects of vaccines. Why on earth would they be doing that when it puts their careers on the line? It puts the funding for research on the line. They could lose their jobs.
They get stonewalled, yeah.
Right. They could, you know, kicked out. You know, they could be, you know, blacklisted in their profession. You know, and why am I talking about this again? These are the true scientists. These are the pure scientists that are simply, you know, doing the research to, you know, on our current, you know, mainstream medical system to try to demonstrate that either it is safe or that there are problems with it. And I think we're seeing, you know, the public is beginning to realize that the science is not settled, and it's definitely not one-sided. And I think the more we talk about it, the more that open-minded people talk about it and they look at the problems with the science that has been bought and paid for, that maybe we can have a better conversation about this. And we can prevent this, again, from becoming mandatory. So I think that's probably one of our motivations, is to simply stop these from becoming mandatory for people.
I mean, yeah, you can't mandate something and remove the medical option to opt out, which is what's happening right now in California, where we know they are trying to pass a law that's all based on CDC contraindications and precautions, and that would remove about 95% of children's medical exemptions in our state, throwing them all out into the street, saying you don't have a right to an education even though you've already been harmed, because things like seizures are not included in the CDC contraindication and precaution language. And yet that is something that is suffered by so many children, probably one of the most common vaccine reactions that I've come across myself. And so, yeah, our goal is to show that genetics, as it relates to the science on genetics, we're just starting to learn the kinds of things that can make people susceptible. That is just starting to happen now. And we've got a great study that we're going to cover on another podcast as it relates to that. Remember that study that I just sent you about the genetics?
Yes. Yeah.
And so we're going to cover that. That's going to be interesting. But because science is just now starting to understand that, how can you ever think that the science is settled?
Yeah, and I want to, you added in, you know, one of your comments, you added some more from Michael Crichton. Again, Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park. He started the TV show ER. He was the original producer for the TV show ER. And he's, what'd you say, graduated from Harvard
Medical School.
Medical School, mm-hmm. Yeah, which was fantastic. So he says, the greatest scientists in history are great precisely because they broke with the consensus, which I think is very, very telling. And he says, consensus is invoked only in situations where the science is not solid enough.
See, and that's my theory right. completely.
Right.
You only tell people to shut up about something when you don't want them to know the rest of it.
Right. When you don't have the science to prove
what
you're saying.
When you're not secure enough in your own position, yeah. that's the only time you want people to be forced to shut up about it. And I have to say, I mean, I see that in different legislatures around the country. When you see these hearings happening, you can tell there's not a real answer for why they're doing this. Right. And you can see it in their intros and the discussions that they're having is like they just want people to shut up and not be able to question and just pass this law already. Right. You can see that happening. It's not about let's understand this better. Let's do what's right for everyone. Let's make sure we protect everyone and find the right solution. It's just like, oh my God, you guys, please just comply. That's the feeling yeah. I get. It's very desperate. It's a very desperate position when you have to shut the conversation off.
Yeah, so you know, so the science is settled is probably one of the most unscientific media sound bites that are out there. So,
but yeah, we have more truth posts to come in the future. We'll keep bringing these up because most of these are things that are kind of like a good conversation starter or something that's interesting that we can break down more. I tend to write more about those things than you do. Mm-hmm. Typically, but so we'll bring some more of those to the table, and we have some. Two interesting studies coming up that I want to cover and that are long, long list of other things to
and
cover.
I'm promising everybody now that we will do a conflict of interest.
Of course.
Episode
it's just such a
coming
big,
up soon,
it's more like a right? double episode that probably it requires right. so much research and actual, like there's so much that goes into it.
It's all up here. It's all up here, Melissa.
On my side, I mean, okay. Research on my side, I have to go research. I mean, it's something to be ready for. We want to make sure that we're covering all of it. You don't want to just cover part of it and be like, oh, we should have included this, and this.
Yeah.
And okay. unfortunately, all of our extra time is going somewhere else right now. So we sort of have to utilize what we can. But anyway, we appreciate all of you. Yep. All of you listening, all of our new 5-star ratings and messages I get all the time. I'm like, seriously, I'm always shocked how much this is really positively impacting people's lives. And I'm so happy that outside of just having a conversation that you thought were just giving information, it's turned into like a real genuine way to connect with people for them to make a difference in their lives. Like that's just like mind blowing to me.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. So.
But did you know it was going to be like this impactful for people?
I hoped.
Did
yeah,
you?
I kind of hoped.
Do you like, get people, do people message you or comment and stuff about it? Do you ever get, do people know, they probably don't know how to message you. Do people in your office come in and say,
oh yeah,
I'm
yeah.
to the podcast?
Oh yeah. No, lots of patients.
Oh,
I'm always embarrassed too.
That's
I don't know.
Funny.
Yeah. I'm always like, they say, oh, I love the podcast. And I'm, I don't know. It just kind of makes me blush a little bit, I guess. Cause I don't know. I guess it's fun to be in here doing this, but yeah. And I love getting comments and messages online and Facebook. But I guess when someone says it in person, I don't know. It's more like, I don't know. I want to be your pediatrician and not your podcast. So I don't know.
I got like recognized three different times last week where people walked up to me at places like, are you Melissa? Like they recognized me and were like, oh, I listen to the podcast, or, oh, I pay attention to your Facebook page and, you know, thank you so much. And it was so funny. I'm like just at a park in a city, like somewhere, like that's also kind of weird to me because, this is not one of those things that we can claim as like, oh yay, we put in all this work and we're excited to have this kind of quote unquote notoriety. It's like, you don't really want to have notoriety on this issue and you don't really want to necessarily put your name and face on something, but you also want to make a difference. And so in that way, it's almost like you want to be this quiet, impactful person.
Yeah.
And so it is funny when somebody in person says something to you and kind of, but I think we've had so much positive, positive feedback from this. And I'm really thrilled that if you're one of the ones I'm talking to and you're one of the ones that has messaged me or someone like you that basically sits at home and you've not felt confident on this, and after listening to all of our episodes that you feel like you're more empowered to have this conversation, it's like, that's you are exactly who we're doing it for.
Yeah.
And this is exactly why we do this. And I am so happy.
Yeah. And share this with people. I mean, I had a conversation with a group of business executives last week. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking all about, you know, vaccines and the problems and this new law. And it's a great conversation. They're very open-minded. They listened to everything I said. And then as we were leaving, I'm like, oh, hey, do any of you listen to podcasts? And the entire room turns to me and everyone's like, oh yeah, totally. I love listening to podcasts. It's podcasts are something that I think most people, you know, younger and middle age, you know, this generation, I think most people listen to and love them and really love, love this style of presenting information. Mm. And so they were they were more interested in the simple fact that I had a podcast about vaccines, more so than probably what we just spent the last 2 hours talking about.
That's
so
funny.
I was like, cool, I'll send you guys a link. Not because I want them to, you know, listen to my podcast, but I want them to hear this information.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's why we're doing it.
Right. Exactly.
Are you kidding? This is I have to wear a baseball cap to go places. I don't necessarily want people to to see my face. That's why I'm saying this is not the kind of thing you want to claim so much, but you also want people to get the information.
Right.
You want to just be this anonymous voice that sort of just happens to be giving information. But anyway.
Well, thanks you guys. And we will, well, don't forget to rate and review us, of course, and we will see you guys next time on What Are We, Melissa?
You tell me, Dr. No, you.
No, you go.
No,
you hang up.
Bye, guys.
The information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your healthcare professional for information on vaccines and infectious diseases.